Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message. We continue a message series entitled Decoded. For those of you that are visiting maybe for the first time on the floor, in the balcony, or watching online, and what we're talking about today is specifically the parables of Jesus. My name is Terry. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a joy to be able to continue this series as we take a look at these parables and really begin to unpack them and decode them, because there's so much hidden meaning within each and every one of them. Before we start, I would tell you this. If you're new to following Jesus and you're not used to these parables, or you're wondering what the meaning is, there's two reasons that Jesus spoke specifically in parables. One is the obvious, which is Jesus would take something in society that was culturally relevant, and he would use that to compare to a truthful principle in order to bring it and come into light for the individuals. That was one. But the second reason is there were individuals that would follow Jesus and would be in the background, and their intention was not necessarily to open their hearts and truly learn from Jesus. Their intention was specifically to come and to try and figure out a way to discredit Jesus, or in some moments, even try to ensnare him, trap him, so that they could kill him. So he would teach in parables, because if they didn't have the heart to come and to learn the things of God, then those things would be hidden from their eyes. So my prayer today is, as we enter this room, and my question to you is, are you prepared to open your heart and to be able to learn from God, from this parable? There are many that go to church, and some, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to hear this. There are some Christians that come in, and it's just automatic. We just automate our church experience. We come in, we sing three songs, the pastor gets up, I take a 20-minute nap, and then I get ready to leave. And what I would tell you is that if we're not careful, we can mail it in on a Sunday. So my prayer is that not only would we learn something from these parables, but it would be a reminder to each of us that, you know what, every time I enter into a place and God's word is open, I have the opportunity to learn. Last thing I'll say, if you're not a Christian, even you have something to learn from God's word, even though you might not necessarily trust in Jesus yet. I'm excited that you're here, and we're going to open up this first parable. In order to kick this off, later this year, right after Christmas, we're going to be taking about 30 so individuals from Ocean View to the Holy Land. And one of the things that I love about going to the Holy Land is there is one spot that we will visit that is the place near where Jesus Christ himself was baptized. It's in the Jordan River, it's near Jericho, and it's in a desert region. And the reason why I love it is for many years we could not go to this site because it was it had minefields separating the road from the Jordan River. And it was because their neighbors, Israel's neighbors, they weren't playing nice. Well, they came into a really, really strong treaty, and recently, within the last decade, they have gone ahead and said that they could open up that site. So they removed the minefields, and a road is constructed, and now, the last few times we've been able to take groups and to be able to go to this place. What I love about it is that many times I've gone in and I have the privilege to baptize 20 to 30 individuals in the Jordan River, which is incredible. And I love that in the summertime. But did you hear me say that we're taking a group right after Christmas? And last time we actually went right after Christmas as well. And I remember walking up to the Jordan River and I'm thinking, we're in a desert. How cold could it be? And I remember walking down into that Jordan River, sticking my toe in, and it was literally, I put it in and I said, oh boy, oh my gosh, freezing water. And I remember I had a friend who was also coming along on a trip and he was going to help baptize, and he came into the water and he just went all in. And I remember looking at him like, you're crazy, it's cold. And he looked at me and he said this, Terry, I'm just going to tell you, you just need to go all in. And I'm like, we're going to get hypothermia. This is crazy. We have 30 people to baptize. And he's like, just go all in. You're going to lose feeling. It'll be great. So I remember, like, for the first 5 minutes, I'm sitting there and I'm walking, I'm putting my toe in, and then I get ankle deep, you know that, and then we go a little bit further, and I am dying. I mean, it is frigid, and my teeth are chattering. And he's just sitting in there, and he's like, I'm telling you, just go all in, go all in. So finally, I just go all in, and he was right. After about 5 minutes, I didn't feel anything. It was great. Now, I'm still have a little trouble with my lower extremities to this point, but I'm sure it'll come back, I promise. No, in all seriousness, the point of the matter is sometimes in our life, it's better to go all in than to just go in a little. And this is the parable that Jesus is going to teach us. We've got a lot to learn and a lot to unpack from this story that Jesus is going to tell. So we're going to get started. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to begin in verse 14. Let me unpack some of the parable and we'll talk about it. Here we go. Jesus said, again, it's going to be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them. I love this because if you're not a Christian, pay attention. We Christians, we start reading this and we just continue on. We just move past some really big principles. I want to bring your attention to this once again. So Jesus tells a story and there's some incongruity here because he says, all right, there's a master and this master has a ton of wealth and he's about to give his wealth. He's going to go on a journey. And by the way, theologians will tell you the way that it's written in the original language, it's not a week, it's not 2 weeks. It is a like months and months and months, even years. So the master's going away, not knowing when he's going to come back. So I want you to imagine if you owned a business and you had your workers working for you and you went up to a few of them and said, hey, I just got called. I got to go on a long trip. And so can you do me a favor? Billy, Bob, show me your name tag. Oh, Bob, yes. Thank you for working here. I really appreciate it. I've got my life savings in my office, and you know, I don't have time right now, so I'm going to give you a big, huge, here's $10 million. Can you do me a favor? Would you just hang on to this for me? You can go ahead and do some stuff with it, but just hang on, and I'll be back. I don't know when. I mean, it could be a long time, but would you mind hanging on to me? Great, awesome. Now, how many in this room would do something like that? No way. I'm not doing that. So Jesus, right off the bat, he says, there's a master. And by the way, this master that he's talking about, he's referencing his father, God. And so he's saying, God entrusts this big amount of wealth with individuals that are servants, not necessarily brothers, sisters, friends. This is a servant. He's going to take his wealth and he's going to give it here. We continue. To one of those servants, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag. And we'll talk about this later on, each according to his ability. Then he went on this long journey. One of the things I love about this and the character of God is that we see this master went ahead and he examined the servants and he said, you know what, each of you are different. Each of you have different abilities and different talents. And so I'm going to take this wealth and I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. What I love about this is in the body of Christ, which are the people. By the way, the church is not a building. The church are the people. And everybody in this room makes up the church. And so as the church, what Jesus is saying is each and every one of us has received a gift from God. He's given us uniquely to our ability. He created us, he made us, and he went ahead and he gave it to us. The second thing that I would say that I love about this is that God took a big risk. Trust me, in my life, I know me. And when God said, Terry, I'm going to go ahead and give you the gift of teaching. I'm going to give you the gift of sarcasm. Wait, no, that's not a gift. I'm just sorry. Gift of teaching. I'm going to give you that gift. And I want you to utilize this gift. I'm looking at God. I'm like, really, me? You want me to do this? Are you seriously? And there's some principles that we understand. And I want to give it to you. These are principles from the parables. And we've been doing this all month long. And I want you to write this down. While God is a unique place of refuge and security, he is also a huge risk taker. I think part of the issue that we have as the body of Christ is that in our modern day society, many of us, we attribute the safe, the secure. How many of you remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? It's almost like to be a Christian, you're the tortoise, man. You're just safe, steady, just continue on. The rabbit's running, taking risks and everything else, but there's too many principles around the tortoise. So as long as we hunker down, you know, if God, we're safe, God. We're not going to take too big of steps here because we don't want to be big risk takers. We're going to be the small, tiny steps. And the first thing that hits me when I look at this parable is Jesus reminds you and I, hey, that's not my father. Hey, did you take a look at the moon? Guess who put that there? My God. Did you ever look at the universe? My God. Did you ever look at the earth? My God. Did you ever look at when a baby is born and the miracle that happens? My God. My God is huge risk taker. Incredible. Now, Terry, why are you telling us this? Why is this important? Because as you read, if you've not read the Bible, there is a part in there that speaks to the fact that you and I are created in the image of God. And when we realize that we're created in his image, then what we can do is we can begin to glean that when we see and pull principles of God's character, it might mean that we're to reflect his character. And if God is, at major moments, a big risk taker, maybe if I'm playing it safe in my Christianity, maybe at times in my life, God is going to call me to be a big risk taker with my faith. And maybe it's not always about playing it safe, but being in the image of God and being a big risk taker. So we pick up the story. He gives his wealth away, and let's see what happens. The man who had received 5 bags of gold, he went, don't miss this, he went at once. He didn't dilly-dally. And he put his money to work, and he gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag, he went off. He dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled his accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. And I love this part. Don't miss it. Come and share your master's happiness. When I did some research on this phrase in the original language, the word picture is beautiful. How many of you have ever been apart from a loved one or a family member or a child for a long time? Like, you send your child for the first time to summer camp, and when they come home, what do when they come out of the bus? You run right up to them, right? You embrace them, you hug them, you hold on to them. And it's that picture. It's the picture of a military father or mother coming home from the field and seeing their family for the first time, and they embrace, and there's tears, and they hold each other. We're all overwhelmed by this. This word picture means this, that when the master said, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you took the 5 bags and you made 5 more. I'm so proud of you. It's as if the master came and embraced and did a big hug with that servant. And nothing was more important in that moment than that servant. I'm not talking about the times when you have an Aunt Frida and she's got a big mole on the side of her house and she says, come give Aunt Frida a hug. I'm not talking about that hug. I'm talking about the kind where you're just, nothing is more important and I love it and I'm all in and I can't wait. And so to the person that did 5 bags of gold and invested it, they received that kind of hug. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Come here, give me a hug. So proud of you. Way to go. And when I look at this, I'm reminded that in our lives, that God, the God of the universe, when it comes to you and I, when it comes to him investing in us, God is all in. He is all in all the time. He is not a timid God. He is a God who can do all things. And it just makes sense, doesn't it? We live, I don't know why it is, but in the church, in Christianity, we sometimes walk in faith like walking on eggshells, right? Well, we got to be careful here. And granted, there are times when you don't need to brandish. You got to be wise. You got to be calculated. But I think sometimes we're always calculated. We're always sitting there and we're timid. And I think God looks up at us and goes, who are you? You know, you got the God of the universe on your side. Why are you afraid? Take a step of faith. I'm all in. Now, let me give you a little illustration. There was a great book written a long time ago. It was said that women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles. Do you ever read that book? If you've not read that book, let me give you the main point of it because it's brilliant. I like to cook, but I'm not a good cook. My wife likes to cook, and yes, honey, I owe you $5. I'm sorry. Anytime I mention my wife and I don't tell her I owe her $5, so she's a rich woman, okay? I'm just saying. So anytime she cooks, she's an amazing cook. She does a really good job. So all of a sudden, here's how I cook. When I go and I kind of prep things, I'm very methodical, I'm very orderly, I'm very compartmental. However, my struggle is when you have a recipe that you have to do 4 things at one time, that's when I'm sweating. I can't do it. It's impossible to get everything together and everything done on the same plate at the same time. I'm very much do this. Okay, now I'm going to move to this and move to this. When everything's happening at the same time, I struggle. And that's why they say women, most women, their brains are incredible. They have the gift of multitasking. They have the gift of doing so many things at so many times. It's incredible. So I like to say, ladies, you have the gift, the superpower of multitasking. And I am envious, let me tell you. Now, men, don't worry. We have our own superpower, okay? I haven't left you out. Ladies, we have a superpower. You know what that superpower is? It's the gift of nothing. We have the superpower of nothing. Now, some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? No. You know what I'm talking about, because you can come home, and when you're exhausted, tired, and you just want to zone out, you turn the TV on, and when your wife looks at you and says, what are you doing? You're like, nothing. What do you mean nothing? What are you thinking about? Nothing. Because we can compartmentalize. We can sit there, and we can literally think of nothing because we have that superpower. Now, the reason why the book says, let me get to the point, the reason why the book says that we are like waffles, men, most men, is because you think of the crevice of a waffle. Like when you take the syrup, like if you're going to brunch right after church today and you get the syrup and you go and you pour the syrup and the syrup goes on top and it's on top of the ridge and then all of a sudden it oozes into the ridge of the waffle and it begins to fill up the waffle. You're getting hungry, aren't you? Yes, a little some eggs, it's toast, it's gonna be great. But it fills up with that sauce. Here's the point. The reason why we're equated to waffles as men, it takes us forever to get into the crevice of a waffle. Case in point. We have two windows in our family room, and I use that as a gauge. And I said I wasn't going to tell this story when my wife was sitting in here, but now I have to, and so now I'm giving away my strategy. So yes, I'm in trouble. So these two windows are in the family room, and when I sit down on my little Barco lounger, I look out these two windows, and I know that if I don't see any leaves from the hedge that's outside, then I'm okay. But all of a sudden, what happens with hedges, especially in the summer, they begin to grow. And all of a sudden, by these windows started getting all these hedges that were coming up, shadows were creeping in, and I was sitting in there going, she's going to look at me and say, we got to do something, and I'm praying, dear God, if by the hand of nothing, I pray that nothing happens, okay? So I'm sitting in there, and then all of a sudden, sure enough, Jennifer goes, this is, you know, Terry, we really have to get these hedges done. I was really hoping that we would get these done, and so can you take care of these hedges, because I'm like, tomorrow? I have my plans tomorrow. I got my calendar tomorrow. There's no way. Here's the point. I'm on the edge of the waffle. My wife says, in that waffle is the hedge trimmer, and you need to get in there. You need to get the hedge trimmer, and you need to trim the hedges. I'm not getting in there. I'm not touching it. I'm not going. I'm not doing it right now. I haven't planned it. I haven't thought of it. We kick and scream and fight because we don't want to get in that waffle. It has to be on our time. But here's the amazing thing about men, most men. When we get in that waffle, we're all in. So I went out, my wife was out, and I was sitting there, and I was like, okay, well, it's 4:00, it's getting a little, well, maybe I'll go in and I'll do the main hedges, and she even said, can you just take care of the main hedges, you don't have to touch the rest of the bushes. So I went out there, and I started trimming the main hedges, and here's the thing that's amazing. I'm sweaty, I'm nasty, I'm already in, I got the extension cords out, I'm outside, I'm in it. And so I start trimming, and 5 hours, I'm outside, and I'm trimming. And I'm the one where she comes home and I'm like, hey, honey, do you need anything else to be trimmed? I'm already out here. I'm already sweaty. I'm already nasty. If you want me to trim, I'm there. What do you need? I'm all in. I'm sure my wife's sitting there thinking, like, where were you 2 days ago? Like, you wouldn't even do anything. And now you're Mr. Handyman. I mean, come on. Now, here's the thing, ladies. Here's what you need to know about me. I can't speak for every man, but I'll speak for myself. Anything else need to be done? Nope, we're good. So here's what happens. I make a proclamation. I am now going in and I am not about to take the shower. When you take the shower, that means you are exiting that waffle. And so I go in the shower, I get a nice, pure, wonderful shower, Dove soap, smell like an angel, incredible, glistening. Okay, I'm going too far. And then I come out and I get dressed. And then I come down, it's 72 degrees, beautiful temperature control HVAC system. I'm sitting in my living room. And all of a sudden, ladies, don't you dare do this. Hey, honey, there's one bush that you missed. Could you grab the hedge trimmer and just trim that? No! No! Not doing it. Not getting out. No way. I can't do it. Now, I say this because this literally, my wife's laughing because this is true. This is what happens with us. And what I've done is I've analyzed And I have said this to her. I was like, I don't know what it is that happens within me. Because I'm perfectly fine in the moment. And if we're really honest, and sorry guys, I'm about to out you here for a second. If we're really honest, many times it literally can be like, look, all I'm asking you to do is just, like, it's 1 minute, it's not a big deal, it'll take you 3 minutes, just can you please just get off the couch, walk outside, clip that, walk back in. You won't even work up a sweat. No! And it's like something internal, I can't. Here's why I say this. I think we do this as Christians. I think God many times speaks to us, and we're in our routine. And me, because I'm in a waffle, God sits there and says, hey, right now, hey, you got a big opportunity here, and all I need you to do is, I'm not even asking you to take a huge risk. I'm just having you take a short risk. If you could just do this. No, no, God, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. Oh, can't do it, God. No, 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 can't do it. And even when I'm in it, for whatever reason, there's something innate inside of me, and I think it's called sin, that puts things ahead of what God wants from me, and I don't want to take that risk. But if we understand the character of God, guess what? God is all in. And many of us, when God speaks, we've got to be willing to be able to say, God, speak. And God, whatever it takes, if you call, I'm going to trust you. And that's hard. But man, if we can get there. So we continue the story in verse 24. It says, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, now pause. I love this, and the way I wrote this is I want you to follow this with me. If you love reading the Bible, this is great, because think about it. We had three characters in the Bible, right? Two of those characters did the right thing. One got five bags of gold, immediately invested. One had two bags of gold, immediately invested. Well done, big hug, woo, not Aunt Frida, but big hug, awesome, awesome, awesome. And then you have the third, and you know the third is the bad guy, right? And you know that this is not gonna go well. So I love it, because notice it says, then. It's like we talked about the two, yay, party time, God, awesome. Then, and you're like, uh-oh, something bad's coming. And so what I want to do is I'm going to give you the principle before we even read it. Because I can feel it inside when I'm reading. This guy, he knows he's in trouble. I want you to imagine being this guy. There's the five. Hey, God, I took five and I gave you five. Way to go, big hug. And you, two. And I gave you two. Way to go, big hug. And you, what would you do? If you dug a hole and put it in, I could tell you what you do, exactly what this guy's gonna do. And so here's what he did, and here's the principle. When you start an answer with an excuse, you are excusing your credibility. When you all of a sudden know that you've not done what you're supposed to do, and the first words out of your mouth is an excuse, you're excusing away your credibility. So be careful with that. Well, Terry, how do you know? Well, let's see his answer. Ready? Take a look. He says, Master, I knew that you were a hard man. I've read that story in and out, and guess what? When it introduced the master, it didn't say anything about him being a hard man. I knew that you were a hard man, and harvesting where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not scattered seed, and also this. So I was afraid. Master, I was afraid. You made me afraid. And isn't it amazing that right off the bat, two excuses are right there, right off the bat. And we laugh because it's easy to laugh at someone else's mistakes, right? But how many of us have started when we get accused or rightfully accused of not doing something and we look and say, well, it was hot outside. I know I told you I did, but you know what? I was tired. And you know, I didn't know. And so we come out with this. Well, let me tell you something. If you're an excuse maker, there's two proverbs I want to give you that are dangerous. You ready? First is this. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. A second one is this, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Let me write this one down. We're going to put this as a part of the premarital course. But here's the truth. I think sometimes why we do this is because we confuse excuses with context. And some of us, that's why we do this. Well, let me give you some context as to why I did what I did. Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between context and excuse. So if you want to take a picture, write it down. Here it is. Excuse avoids accountability. Context embraces it. Excuse avoids accountability. Context will embrace it. Meaning, no excuse. Here's what happened, but there's no excuse. I should have done it, and I'm sorry. As opposed to, well, this and this and this happened, and that's why I didn't do it. That's why I could not do it. Those that want to give context will give context, but they will say, at the end of the day, I didn't get it done, and I'm sorry. If you are in the business world and you're a worker, I can tell you something. Bosses love when individuals take accountability for their actions. Bosses do not like when someone makes excuses of why they can't get the job done. And God reminds us right off the bat, here's the servant. The first thing he does is he does not take accountability for his actions. And so he says, I was afraid. And so I went out and I hid your gold in the ground and see, here it is. It belongs to you. And let's see what the master does. You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Here's what he said. Here's what the master said. Look, you can make all the excuses in the world, but you didn't do anything. I mean, you could have done something. So don't sit there and make excuses of why you couldn't do anything. You've got no excuse. You should have at least put it on deposit. At least I would have got something back. So there is no excuse. And the reason why I say this is, how many of us as followers of Jesus, we know that God has uniquely gifted us with at least one talent. And many of us, when God says, I want you to use it, I want you to use it, I want to use you, you can make a difference, you can influence, you can challenge. And we look up at God and we say, well, God, I was afraid. God, I heard you're a mean God. God, I don't know. And I think we see God looking and saying, come on. Do you know how much power you have that I've given you? And you're not doing anything with it. And this is going to be harsh. If you're not a Christian, you're going to think that God's mean. But hold on before we get to the end of the message, all right? But here's what the master said after that. So take the bag of gold from him. And I want you to give it to the one who has 10 bags. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to give it to someone who's going to take the gifts that I've given them and use it and do incredible things. So take it away. And the reason why I say this is because God looks at you and I and says, Terry, why are you afraid to use the gift that I've given you? I mean, you do realize it's not about you, right? Do you realize that this has nothing to do with you? This is not about Terry. This is not about Terry's personality or Terry's giftedness. This is about a spiritual gift that is born from the Holy Spirit that God gives each and every one of us. And so God uses us as a vessel to be able to pour in, to be able to do great things. So it really has nothing to do with us. And so we look at God and say, I didn't do it because I. And God says, it's not about you. And God looks and says, so do you realize that all you have to do is say yes? And when you say yes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you more. Do you realize that the servant's got more money? And so God looks at us and says, if you take the gift and talent that I've given you and you use it in your life, I will give you even more. Because you know why? God is the only guaranteed return here on earth. He's the only guaranteed return. And if you don't invest, guess what? There is no return. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking purely about the gift that you have to influence others. I have a 14-year-old son, and you know what I love? I love when someone other than myself who loves saying the same things that I love to be said with regards to a relationship with God, I love it when they look at my son and they take my son to the side and they pour into him saying the same things that I would want to be said. And in my age and at my season of life, that is gold. Do you know how many gifts you have to pour into others to be able to elevate families? To be able to encourage them. We have leaders that every week sacrifice pouring into children because God gifted them with the ability to do so. And here's the great thing. We don't do it out of guilt. We do it because we know what? God is the only return. He's guaranteed. And we know that we're doing what he tells us to do. And so, if you don't invest, there's no return. Let's finish the story. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And here's where it gets serious. And you know what? Throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me close with saying this. Not only does God give each of us a gift and talent to be used for his glory, and here's the great news about it. When you use that gift and talent, you are passion filled. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. But the other thing that God reminds us of is that God has a free gift that he wants to give each and every one of us. And so those of you that are not Christian watching online in the balcony or on the floor, those of you who wonder about your relationship with God, God gives you the gift of eternal life. He hands it to you, and all you have to do is receive it. And when you reject Jesus and when you reject that gift, then there will be gnashing of teeth. There will be sadness and sorrow. But it's not because God wants you there. It's because he's given it to you and you've rejected it. And so what is God speaking to your heart today? There are some of you that need to stop playing it safe. We need to stop being super safe Christians. And we need to have boldness because God is all in. And maybe it's time for you and I to begin taking God-sized risks. Because when we take a God-sized risk, he will even give us more and more and more. The question is, do you believe in yourself enough to trust God to take a God-sized step of faith? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this parable and, God, the reminder that we have that you have blessed each and every one of us. God, forgive us when we make excuses. Oh, God, forgive us. God, I pray for the individual right now, God, that knows that their heart is beating because they know that they have an ability and a gift and they're not using it. And so very simply, if that's you in this room with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you are here and you know you're not doing what God would want you to do, then today's the day. If not now, then when? And I want to tell you something and I want to warn you that with God beating on your heart, here's what's going to happen. The enemy, when you walk outside these doors, is going to rob that seed and take it away. And so today is the day to say yes to whatever God tells you to do. And for those of you in this room that do not have a relationship with God and do not know him as Lord and Savior, if not now, then when? You don't have to understand everything about God. You just have to trust. And when you trust and take a God-sized risk and trust him as Lord and Savior, the reward is eternity. The reward is eternal life. The reward is so much more than you can ever imagine. But I pray that the enemy would not use fear to hold you back from taking the step of faith that God calls you to. So God, we love you today. We bless you. Thank you so much for this parable. And we give it all in the name of Jesus. Before we leave, and I have Mary Helen close us today, I want to challenge you. I was reading this morning, and God really spoke to me and said, Terry, maybe sometimes there are individuals in this room that don't give, and I'm not talking about money, but don't give of their talents because they're really not sure of what talent they have. If that's you, then a real quick and easy way to do it. You can go home, you can go online, you can go on your phone, spiritualgiftstest.com. You can go right there, take a diagnostic. If you have no clue on what you're gifted in, it will give you a good indication as to what you're gifted in. And then if you want to know how can I be used of God, contact the church. We will come alongside of you and we will help find a place where you can be passion-filled and used of God. Have a great afternoon.